boy, did we have a great Champions League round of 16. First leg, anyway. Obviously, we got another game to go for each team. But I want to talk about each game and what's going to happen, in my opinion. Who's doing good, who's doing bad, and who surprised me the most. Starting with Liverpool and RB Leipzig. Honestly, I can't say I was surprised by the 2-0 win by Liverpool. I think it was a pretty even match most of the game. But at the end of the day, Liverpool's two best players, Mo Salah and Sadio Mane, came out and scored each a goal. I don't know if I really liked the positioning of RB Leipzig. I feel like they played with a three in the back and too many people in the middle. Not to mention Klosterman was kind of like on the left side, and you know, obviously he's right-footed. You know, he's naturally a right center back, and even before he was a right center back, he was a right back. So he was playing really out of position. Not to mention, didn't really have a 100% striker, like traditional striker. And obviously, Liverpool didn't really have a defense, or at least their starting defense they normally would have. They still have a lot of injuries, but it's still Liverpool. Liverpool have a great team, great management, so I thought they performed well. I didn't get surprised at all. I don't see Leipzig coming back from it, personally. They have a good team, young team, but it seems like every year they get taken. They have one of their players taken from them, so I don't know. We'll see. It's still possible, but I highly doubt it. You can quote me on that one. And one of the bigger ones was Barcelona and PSG. That one definitely surprised me. Now, I know Barcelona has been kind of having a rough time lately, and they are back in second place, I believe, in the league. But Barcelona are still a very, very, very big team that's going through a rebuild, have newer management. I don't know that Koeman has convinced me as a coach that Barcelona should have picked. Now, I don't mean this in a derogatory or maybe even a racist way, but I think Spanish coaching has been really, really good for Barcelona, especially since a lot of the players that they bring up are brought in from La Masia, so they tend to understand each other a little better. Now, nothing against Koeman, he's a good coach, but I don't know that he would I just think he has a different style than what most of La Masia Academy players have. Not to mention, if you go through their starting lineup, in the middle, he's got Frankie de Jong, Busquets, and Pedri, which is fine, but why bring in Pjanic from Juve if you're not going to use him? He's a pretty good midfielder there.
I know he was subbed in, but what's the point? Busquets is kind of getting slower and slower. Obviously, he's a legend in the game, but he is getting slower and older. So I think it's time to replace him, and I think that's kind of what they had in mind with Pjanic, but I don't know if Coleman just doesn't really see it in him. I don't know. Not to mention the defense is terrible, terrible, terrible. And I think part of that is Busquets, because Busquets technically, he at least he used to do really, really well recovering the ball in the middle, helping out the two center backs. And now that he's slower, it seems like that's kind of started to fade away, which makes Barcelona's defense a lot weaker, especially when Piqué isn't the Piqué he used to be either. You know, they've got Umtiti in there, which I don't think anybody has been convinced by him, any of the coaches, Koeman or before that, because they never played him. He had his good form when he was in the World Cup, and ever since then, he's non-existent. And Barcelona are still very, 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 very dependent on Messi. Messi's starting to take back that center forward position that he used to play originally, back when Pep first started at Barcelona. And yeah, I mean, Messi's Messi. He'll perform whichever position you put him in. But if you look on the opposite sides, you know, Griezmann on the left and Dembélé on the right, that's pretty much all you got. Both of them not being real wings. I guess Dembélé technically is a right wing, right side forward, but they don't really produce the way past Barcelona players did. Obviously, Messi is really missing Suarez at the moment. They were really good friends, so I know I was honestly surprised. I didn't think he was going to stay at Barcelona when all those rumors were going around about him leaving. I believed them. But now that he stayed, I don't think he's going anywhere. He just recently signed a new contract, too, so 100% sure Messi will retire at Barcelona in a couple of years. Now, I know I've only talked about Barcelona, but all credits to PSG. They did great. Mauricio Pochettino, he made a pretty solid squad. He knew what he was doing. He played a very, very solid starting 11. I mean, if you look at the PSG lineup, it's hard to find a weakness. Yeah, some really, really young players. Obviously, Mbappe. They are missing Neymar, which is even scarier, because if they're over here destroying Barcelona without Neymar, it's scary that they'd be so much better with him. At least you'd like to think that. Neymar isn't exactly a player you can just dispose of. He is still a really, really good player. PSG has a really, really solid back four, a great midfield. PSG lined up the top three with Mbappe, Icardi, and Moise Keane. And they did great. I can't say I expected them to win, at least not by 4-1. I thought they were I thought it was going to be a tied game. Maybe Barcelona and Messi would come up, but I didn't expect a 4-1. And I also don't expect Barcelona to come back from that. Barcelona is still a really good team, but it's basically Messi and 10 others, because the other 10 don't really matter. And if Messi doesn't win them the game, nobody is. So mark my words on that one too. Barcelona is not going to win the game. They are not going to go through to the next stage. Sevilla and Dortmund. Pretty even match, I'd say. I think a lot of people, they tend to think of Sevilla as a team that does not progress in the Champions League. A team that, if it's not Europa League, then it's nothing. But they have a really solid team. Obviously, Dortmund is a really good team as well, especially when you have a player like Haaland up front. But if you look at the game, if you watch the game, if you look at the stats, Sevilla really did a lot better than Dortmund. They had more shots, more possession, more passes. The only difference was Dortmund knew how to finish. Dortmund had less chances, but they didn't have any hiccups. They Haaland was on his A game. He did very well. He took advantage of every opportunity he had. Whereas Sevilla, in typical Spain style, they performed very well. They passed the ball like crazy. But when it comes to actually putting the ball in the net, they didn't finish that part. I don't know. I don't know that I could... that one's a tough one. I don't know if Dortmund could come back. Now, obviously, that game was in Sevilla, and they're going to have to go to Dortmund and play the second game. But I don't know that I can say either or. I think this one couldn't go either way. Obviously, Dortmund's got the advantage. They're up 3-2. Not to mention they have the home advantage. But Sevilla really made Dortmund look sloppy. If Haaland would not have scored those two goals, we'd be having a different conversation. And Sevilla is a good team. So it's very difficult. I think I'd just because probability, I think Dortmund, it will go on to the next round. Dortmund is going to win that game, not by much. I think it'll be a very close game, but Dortmund will go on to the next round. And speaking of next round, I don't know that anybody would see, I don't know that anybody can see Juve not going to the next round, but they haven't exactly been in amazing form either. It would be strange if you think about it, the future that we're in, the future present, a world where Messi and Ronaldo are no longer the top contenders for the championship. It's a strange world. I knew it would happen one day, but if Porto, they can hang on to their lead and beat out Juve, then, and my other prediction is right about Messi, then we would see a quarterfinal without Messi and without Ronaldo, which is crazy considering how good of teams they both are on. But at the same time, I don't believe that Porto will hold on to their lead. All credits to them for winning that game. But it was very, very fortunate for them. It was very, very fortunate. Juve did not play very well. But even not playing very well, they still outperformed them statistically. Now, I know stats don't play games, but statistically, they, by a long shot, outperformed Porto. And this is the same thing as Dortmund, where Dortmund just had fewer chances, but they took advantage of them. But I think Juve is one of those teams where it's hard to do that twice in a row. You could do that one game, but to do that a second game in a row is very difficult. I think Porto was very fortunate in their goals. But you do have a Juve that's their management. Pirlo is being very questioned right now, considering where he is in the league in Serie A. They are in third place in the league, and they are 10 points away from first place, Inter Milan. So his job right now is being questioned a lot. But I also don't think it. I don't think that Porto can hang on to that lead. But if Porto scores just one goal, then Juve has to score another two just to tie it up. And I mean, you can't ever count on Ronaldo. Now, I'm not what you would call a Ronaldo fan, but you can't ever count out Ronaldo. If Ronaldo's on the field, and he's surrounded by the team, the players that Juve has, which are very good players, then you can't count them out. I don't think Porto will hold on to that lead. I think at the end of the day, we'll see Juve to the quarterfinals, and Porto will pretty much be left where they always are in the round of 16. Atletico Madrid and Chelsea was a very good game. Very, very good goal by Giroud. If you saw that bicycle kick that he scored, it was very good. Now, VAR took a minute to actually, you know, confirm that it was a goal. I thought it was pretty obvious, but, I mean, I'm not a ref. And honestly, this was one. I know it was more technically on paper more even, but given Chelsea's form in the league right now, and Atletico's great form in their league right now, I thought this was going to be a lot more uneven than it actually was. I can't say I'm surprised that Chelsea won. They are still a very good team, but I expected Atletico Madrid to do a lot better than they did. Now, a lot of the people that compare the Premier League to La Liga, they will definitely get the upper hand on this one, just because Madrid is tearing up La Liga, but then they face Chelsea, who isn't doing so great in the Premier League, and they lose, right? And at home. So, Chelsea is going to have to hold on to their 1-0 lead, and I think they can, but their 1-0 lead isn't it's a very, very what's the word? Misleading score. That 1-0 lead can easily become into a 3-1 loss. Or 3-0 win. So I don't know. I see the 1-0 current score as a basically 0-0, 0-0 tied game. Because anything can happen, especially when you have two really good teams like this. It's pretty clear at the moment that Christian Pulisic, or Pulisic, however you want to pronounce it, has pretty much been taken out of the squad and only coming in to help out here and there. I think a lot of the American fans want to see him start, but he's a great player, just hasn't been playing to his full potential lately. So I don't blame him not being started. Obviously, we'll see Chelsea, how they do in the league now that they are under new management. They have a very, very, very good team. Honestly, I think Chelsea have almost two different teams that they can play and still be very good. But the only concern, personally, the only concern I have with Chelsea is their strikers. Other than Timo Werner, who is a possible flop. Possible flop. We'll see. We'll wait to the end of the season, but maybe even next season. But they spent a lot of money on him, and he hasn't been putting out what they spent on him. And obviously you have Giroud, which other than his goal, Giroud is a very, very average striker. I think Chelsea's going to have to either, they're gonna either commit to Timo for at least another season. But they have to try to bring in another striker soon. Giroud is not going to be able to hold it down forever. And if Timo doesn't perform like he should be, then they just spend a lot of money on a lot of nothing. You got Tammy Abraham there, who has his ups and downs. He can be a Lewandowski one day, and then the next day he will be a be a no one. So we'll see. Atletico Madrid and Chelsea have very similar quality squads, in my opinion. But if I had to place my bets on one at the moment, I think just because Chelsea have that 1-0 lead, they're under new management, they seem to be going up in form. I think Chelsea will win this game by a very, very small margin. I think it'll either stay 1-0 or they'll win like 2-1. Something along those lines. I don't think it'll change much. Not to mention they've performed a lot better without Kepa right now, which I'm sure he doesn't want to know that. Now let's talk about Bayern Lazio. Bayern's going to win that game next. No, but in reality, yeah, I don't. Bayern's up 4-1 with Lazio. And I think Bayern can play their third string players and still compete with Lazio. Lazio have a very under, I guess they overperformed, in my opinion. They have a decent team, but can you honestly see Lazio going further than what they are now? Round of 16, like, especially against a team like Bayern Munich, I just can't see that. I have absolutely no doubt, any doubt, that Bayern will win this game. The Atalanta, Italian, and Real Madrid game was very interesting, to say the least. I honestly expected more from Atalanta. They had a very great season last year, and a very decent one so far this year. They're in a fourth place. They have the same amount of points as Juve, but Juve's got one less game. So they're okay. They're doing great in the league. But this is another one of those teams where I just feel like every season that's gone by, one of their players gets stolen, and their quality has to change, and gameplay has to change, coach has to change just a little bit more because they lost someone. And Madrid, boy, would they be happy to see Barcelona out and they go on to the next round. But they don't exactly have the greatest team at the moment. So that's why I was surprised to see them perform so well against Atalanta. They have absolutely no defenders. No strikers either. So I kind of thought they would have lost this game. But at the end of the day, it is a 1-0 win for Real Madrid. And they still have another 90 minutes to go. Atlanta is a very young team. So maybe they can come in and do what they should have done the first game. I'm not by any means a Real Madrid hater, but given the current team they have, there's no way that they should have won that game. But it's still Real Madrid, so we shall see. I think they'll still win. If Real Madrid, having nobody, half of their team gone, they're a hospital, and they still won 1-0, then I'm sure they'll do okay. I think that they will go into the next round. And lastly was a Man City game versus I know the team, but I also can't pronounce the name. I believe it is Bayern München Gladbach. So I shall call them Gladbach. is one of those teams that you didn't really expect to go into the next round, and you also don't expect them to win against a team like Man City, which they didn't. They lost 2-0. Man City did their job. They did what they had to do. They played their starting team, which I don't understand why. I mean, I understand why Kyle Walker started at the right back, but Cancelo being on the left side, being out of position, obviously Pep Guardiola knows what he's doing, but being out of position is kind of weird, if you ask me. Obviously, that tells me he has more confidence in Cancelo playing out of position than he has confidence in Mendy or even Zinchenko. Sometimes he plays Zinchenko in that spot at left back. So overall, great, great form. Every single player on this team has had great form so far this season. I was surprised to not see Kevin De Bruyne in there, but I thought he'd put him in at least for a little bit, and along with Fernandinho. So he's given Hernandez some play time in the Champions League, and Phil Foden has done so good this year so far. He's been replacing De Bruyne, which is surprising to all the Man City fans, but he's just done so well. I don't blame him. Along with Gundogan, which Ilkay Gundogan is a center mid, but he also scored so many goals and has done so well for Man City. I think that was one of the smartest buys they've done in recent times. Either that or, I mean, Pep is obviously a genius, and he can turn players into versions of Messi's. So I'm not surprised by this 2-0 win, but Gladbach is a good team too. They have a pretty solid team for the Americans. They are a very traditional, well-known German team. They obviously are not a Dortmund or a Bayern, but they are very well-known, very above average team produce good goalkeepers. Tend to be a little bit on the older side, but they do very well. So I think you can't write them off, but at the same time, they also perform to their abilities. Oh, and also, I don't understand why Zach Steffen wasn't in goal for Man City. Honestly, I expected him to be in there, but I guess not. I don't know. Pep knows what he's doing. He knows more than a lot of me, that's for sure. But we'll see. We have about 2 weeks before the second leg, and it'll be interesting to see. You have the top goal scorer, Erling Haaland, which there's rumors he might go to Real Madrid. It'd be the smartest move for Real Madrid, but at the same time, Real Madrid is a club where you can be an amazing player and then all of a sudden you're a very below average player. And you can ask Luka Jovic about that. At the same time, Haaland is he's a monster of a striker. He is the future of football. Once Ronaldo and Messi are out, I think it's very obvious that the two best players are going to be Haaland and Mbappe. But who knows? Man, they're both young. Somebody can pop up and be even better, which probably will happen. So that's the main recap of the Champions League. I will do my best to make this a little more enthusiastic, put a little more information, talk about other topics that aren't just the Champions League, talk about the Prem, talk about La Liga, Serie A, big news, transfers. I'll dabble into American football and basketball here and there. But other than that, I appreciate everyone who listens.